Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good being with you today. And I promise I'll make it much simpler than the intro. It's really simple. It's simple. We go past the known and we allow something to inform our bodies. There's a movement. There's a movement of wisdom that's in us. And I want to welcome you guys to the show today and that all the wonderful people that are kind of behind the scenes. I appreciate them so deeply, and it really is a relationship thing. Here today with Lisa LaRose, and in mortal time and linear time, I've known Lisa probably beyond time, but Lisa's certainly been a family member, a client, something beyond both. She's a family member extra. So welcome, Lisa. One Wisdom, onewisdom.com. There you are.
.org. Yep, absolutely. .org. Basking in the sunshine that's coming through my window today. I'm grateful to see it.
Wow. You know,
it's feels like a true blessing.
Yeah, the sunshine is very helpful, very beautiful. You know, wanted to talk about vibrant films and seeing things from the perspective of being a filmmaker. And I saw this beautiful quote, a Guy Finley, a friend of mine. Me and a guy have had many spirited conversations through the years. He's written a lot of books, and some of you might know him from the, I think it's called Life of Learning. But he sent this book to me, and there's this beautiful quote, and he just says to see the love from your partner's eyes, like see things from their world, from your partner's eyes. It's funny. I was gonna go back to my house and go to my library just to get this beautiful quote. So being a filmmaker. I want to say I have the honor now of having a whole team of building a team of people around this. I want to thank Eric Morris, No More Acting Please, he's been an inside coach. And he actually gave me a cell phone on his home phone 18 years ago and told me he'd be on my team and be a family member. You know, that write up that you wrote, Lisa, so beautifully about being a filmmaker. So basically, the principle that you bring to filmmaking is the same principle that you bring to life. And so, as an example, to be a very powerful actress or actor, you need to drop acting. You need to be able to be the character in the fullest expression, in the fullest emotion. And from the eye of a filmmaker, what I do regularly now is I build little casts, little teams around me. I'll give an example. If I go to the clothing store, I work with several women. I say, tell me what attributes this hat has, right? I talk to them about the attribute of the hat. What do they see in me when I wear this hat and when I move this way? And I'm sort of playing because it's all a play. It's all a play. But the thing is, when you're doing a film, people, when we change the language of something, we give something a different meaning, people pay attention differently. So when I say to people, I'm making this film now, it's quite remarkable what happens, Lisa. It's like people, they give me the numbers. They tell me about a restaurant. They had the most romantic meal. We were staying at the Element Hotel in Boston, incredible hotel, one of the most green hotels in the Boston area. I told the person, the desk person, what I was doing. And I said, you know, I think you could be a great person in this film. And he was just so into it. He came over to me and he kept coming over to me, and I could tell, like, it lit him up. It was like he saw something about that. So one of the things that has happened in my life is I work with couples and I work with families and teens. I'm becoming really vibrant and alive together. And I use imagery as a medicine for people. I work a lot with imagery. So the how the film has worked is I share with people the vision of the film, and I ask them to tell me what they see, and that's how I do character development as well. So Lisa, what are you? Let's do a dialogue. I think it just means you, Ariel, our producer from Ariel Bonberg, is working on something right now for Vibrant Living. I want to. Is any no, Ariel? You're not there, right? You're right. I love the way you did that. Hey, if we were getting attacked or something, that'd be great. You're sitting right. You didn't say anything at the table. I'm right here. I love how you did that. That was so secret agent. That was cool.
They call me Bomber.
Producer. Yeah, I know that. No, I love it. Ghetto, I love it. Yeah, I want to be able to do this in a way where we can kind of make this valuable for the people listening. And also, if you guys are inspired to be on our team, you know, if you're inspired to be on our crew, so this film, it's called The Announcement. It really is the imagery that I was able to rewrite my life from my heart, from seeing a different life. And then people showed up in my life in a way that opened my heart again to something, a new seeing, and also kind of rewrote what I thought was my work. And my work kind of was a certain way, and now it's become a totally different thing. You know, it's so the opportunity of crisis is to see something and implement it in a different way relationally in your life, which is one of my biggest, I guess, awarenesses. And so, Lisa, I'll just go to you. I'm just going to go to you. That's it. That's it. I'm going to go to you.
Glenn, you know, I have to just share with you, when you told me what you wanted to discuss about how people create a movie in their mind, and that's really the way that a lot of people live their life. You know, I do have to agree with you that people sometimes get stuck in a script. You know, they've listened to the script that was their parents, and, you know, they not really sure why they do something, but it was the belief systems that they got ingrained with. And when, you know, you invite people to play, you know, for instance, you know, asking, you know, how does somebody see you in a hat, it evokes a new conversation. It's not, you look nice. It's not the canned answer.
Yeah.
You're actually inviting people to think. And I think that's really what you're asking people to do, to sort of soften their eyes, to take a look at the world and to notice something that they may not have noticed beyond what, you know, the color of a car is, or the shape of, say, for instance, a loaf of bread, you know, and see things in a new way. You know, I mean, you grow up, and if you have just white bread your whole life and never experience all the other flavors, you know, you're really missing out on a lot, right?
And oh, yeah, no, beautifully said.
Yeah. And so, you know, so for, you know, for you, Ariel, because since you're the secret agent of the day, how in your life, you know, have you sort of softened your eyes and seen something new from a unique perspective that's really made an impact for you?
That's a really powerful question, actually. I mean, I could say definitely my everyday experiences when I work with, in my practice, you know, you really have to be like that all the time. You know, I meet different people, different backgrounds that come with a whole, completely different issues, psychological, physical, spiritual, et cetera. And in that state, I really have, you know, you really force me to be an unprejudiced observer. So, I mean, it's something I see on a daily basis, but if you mean on a more personal level, for myself as a person, I would say, again, I mean, it's something I brought up last time, but I would say my experiences living in Israel, because when you live in America or any Western country, you know, we're very used to the materialism, the lifestyle, and the pleasures and everything that's offered to us, and the blessings are offered to us as well. Don't get me wrong. But when you go somewhere like, you know, Israel or anywhere in the East, India, you know, any place where there's a large suction and foundation of spirituality and mindfulness and connection to something more higher and divine, it's really something you have to be very open to in order to be a vessel to receive that influx of metaphysical power and spirituality. And for me, you know, when I first traveled to Israel and I spent my time learning in Israel, I had my preconceived biases that, oh, it's going to be, you know, a fun time, you know, going to go to the beach, let's do this and that, you know. But the longer I stayed in that area, the more I was able to take in the atmosphere and the mindset and all the other factors that really impacted me as a person overall in all different aspects and levels. So I think I could definitely pinpoint to my just overall experience living and learning in Israel is really impacting my life. And I think that's something that I had to be open to in order to really tap into that, which, you know, I eventually was able to.
I just want to say, listening to Vibrant Living, along with Ariel Bonberg, Lisa LaRose, Glenn Brooks, I promised myself I'd let you guys know about this today on this segment. So I'm starting the Vibrant Living Challenge January 1st. And basically the film that I'm I feel like I'm on a boat, you know, and the boat sort of has a certain momentum. Life's like a boat. It's like a cosmic boat. And if you're in the momentum of the boat, like last night I came back from Vermont and I was going to take this one route. And there was 2.5 feet of snow in Vermont, by the way. It's absolutely gorgeous up in Vermont. But this road had closed. Next thing I knew, this guy was waving me on. One guy was stopping. One guy was waving me on. I stopped. I said, I don't know which way to go. The guy said, oh, you did the right thing. It's just confusing what we're doing. So I drove 10 miles to a state forest last night where icy dirt roads. It was something else. It was like it took me totally off the trajectory. And then I was on this other whole ride, right? And this woman stopped. She said, I know where to go here. And it was sort of interesting. She was ahead of me for like maybe 6 miles. She knew the roads, the roads that were pretty much summer roads. They turned into an alternate route. So the film has become a part of my life. It's informed my relationships. It's a way of life. It's kind of like what Ariel was saying. It's kind of like you go from one regular conversation, or what Lisa was saying, you go from white bread to you feel fiber, you know, or as my teacher used to say to me, Paul Bragg, we got to reeducate not just our physical taste buds, but our consciousness awareness. So this is a physical thing. Let me give you an example. I saw a friend of mine at Whole Foods the other day. He's about 6'7". His name's Napchi Wand. He's a Sikh. And I stood behind him. He didn't know I was standing behind him. And I realized he's walking like he's like 87. You know, I love him a lot. So I walked up to him and I said, walk past the salad bar again. I go, walk as if you're like 10 years old, though. And I showed him. I said, I want you to feel what it's like right now. Close your eyes. Before you take your next step, like, just get a feeling of that lightness. That hasn't gone. And if you don't feel the lightness, kind of shake your feet. Like when you take a step, like kind of shake it off a little bit. See, we collect stuff in our bone marrow. We collect it in a memory. And all of a sudden we get up in the morning, unless we're awake, right? And this is the gift of relationship, because we could wake up each other. So I said to him, just do it again, you know, just play with it like you're a kid. Forget you're like, you know, in your 60s, you need a hip replacement. Forget about that. Yesterday I stood up at the gasoline station with this woman. She had a double knee replacement. And she told me it was her back. And I could see, like, we get things fixed. But no one teaches us. Very rarely do we understand that we can still play. Like, life really is about this relational mobility. So I want to share with you about this. So the Vibrant Living Challenge, where I'm going to be inside, you'll probably be on the inside of this film, and you'll be on the inside of your vibrant vision. And you're one-of-a-kind, vibrant, unique power. Your special power. And we come together. We all have our vibrant journals. And in the next segment, I'm going to share about how to do this as a couple. And really, we're going to learn how to go beyond competing. You know, when I was growing up, I realized what keeps us stuck, really, is two things, two barriers. If you could release these two barriers, your whole world will shift. And I'll defer to Lisa and Ariel, of course. They'll be the audience today. They'll take your mind and consciousness right for you. So these are the two things that I have found that make the most profound difference for people unconditionally. So these are two things, two barriers, busyness and survival. And so when a person's able to disengage from some survival. Now, what does it mean? I'm not saying don't survive. I'm saying be conscious that if your core contact is just survival, and you come from survival and security, it's hard to experience the richness and wonder and live in this experience called vital rhythmic pulsations. Now, in terms of busyness, I noticed it seemed like there was a period of time when everybody was switching to fax machines. And there was this, and people would say to me things like what they loved about the fax is they could wait a couple of days or some time and contemplate the response or something like that. So one of the things I've learned with my body, to move faster, you must move slower. Say that again. So if you move slower. So as an example, in a film, and I love this, Lisa and Ariel, I love in a film when I'm setting a scene with someone, I'll play with them and I'll say, you know, when you started to tear up by the door and we just slow down and I say, make that sink into that, make that the most relevant thing. I want you to like cry as if you could let every bit of sorrow you felt about that moment before you got to the doorway. And by the way, don't be nice. This isn't a time to be nice. This is like, we got to really speak to the audience. And if you're busy focusing on niceness, you're going to get in the way. And I want to credit Eric Morris for this. Eric Morris is, and by the way, he pounded on me for almost an hour yesterday. He says, Glenn, he goes, I love you. We're going to do this. I'm going to cover you back, but I want to communicate these things. And he's like my 88-year-old sensei, and he was just so strong. And I want to thank him and tell him I do love him, because sometimes he calls me up and he just, but here's the thing. When you live your life that way and you're making a film, I don't care if you're making a film and only five people see it. You're making a film. You are running movies in your mind. And when you run those movies, you run them and you forget you're running them, they have physical consequences. So the purpose of the Vibrant Living Challenge and the film, which are connected, is I make the film, I'm engaging in this thing called the Vibrant Living Challenge, which is a three-month group of people that are dedicated to have relational transformation together. So when you look at someone, and this relates to acting and this relates to the film, usually we have two snapshots or two things that happen. We see the person as the script, as Lisa said. Another thing that could happen is we see them beyond the script. I'll give you an example. Sometimes, and my teacher taught me this in New York City, says, you know when you see someone begging? He goes, never give a beggar money. Never give a beggar money. He goes, when you give someone money, see the riches in them. When you give someone a gift or you give someone money, See them as where they could be. Like this is a principle, by the way, from one of the greatest acupuncturists in the world. He says, when someone walks in the room, and he goes, anybody can see a drug addict. He goes, what about seeing the person who's playing the fiddle? And this is a relational principle. Anybody could see something that's not working. It takes true skill to see what's working and amplify it. So in this film, the two characters, Diana and Gordon Banks, Gordon and Diana Banks, what's required of the characters is they have to see each other in a different way and see life in a different way beyond the thought viruses of everybody around them. Now, what do I mean when I say thought viruses? The people who say, well, your relationship's over. It would be bad to go back there. Like all the feedback that's collapsing your relationships has a lot to do with people's feedback. You know, I want to tell you guys how much I love Chloe Madonis. Chloe's probably one of the most significant people in my life. She took me aside during a very tough period. And she's the person, by the way, who's responsible for taking Tony Robbins aside. And she said to me one day, she said, Glenn, you know, it's the girlfriends. I said, what do you mean it's the girlfriends? She said, they'll take people down. She focused on that. And what she meant was, is that a lot of times what happens is people have their own thought virus. So they have things they don't see. And they pass it on to someone else. And let me ask you a question. In your lives, and I want to ask you, Lisa and Ariel, do you see people that come around you and they say something, and it's a thought virus? They're not even conscious of it, but if you listen to it, it would interfere with the flow of your life. They would interfere with your relationships. That's a thought virus.
Absolutely.
Oh, all right, we're going to continue. We're going to continue. All right, let's continue with Ariel saying absolutely. Lisa just threw a water balloon, and she's ready too. Elijah, Precious, and Joy, stay with us. I want you guys to play with us. Come on.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with Ariel Bonberg, Lisa LaRose. Ariel, you said absolutely. I was talking about the hidden world of thought viruses, the things that, you know, like right now, somehow it's flu season. It's, you know, it's stressful because of this, it's that. It's all the knowledge of the world that gets shared, and people forget they have their own life energy that's independent of that. And people's views and opinions from thought viruses are pretty much as dead. You know, when Paul Bragg took me aside, he was in his 90s, and he says, you know, Glenn, he goes, dying's a bad habit. Don't get into it. He goes, don't buy into all the nonsense about death and dying. And he says, all the people that have criticized me for the last 90 years or whatever, they're underneath me now. And he goes, don't let people's thoughts get in the way. He goes, feel that vitalness. So you said absolutely. What came to your awareness when you said absolutely when I mentioned the idea of thought viruses?
So there's no question we all do it. Thought viruses all the time, and like I said, myself included.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that these thought viruses can they affect all the time. You know, there are always people that make comments. People that say things. You know, they're gonna be rude, and yeah, I would say 90% of the time, from my experience, they don't even realize it. But I think for myself, yeah, as a person, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a human being. You know, sometimes, you know, it affects. I would say, based, you know, thankfully, because I have the tools and resources needed to really work on myself to not let it affect me as much. You know, I think it's something that, you know, these are things that I can handle on a daily basis. But yeah, I think morally, we just have to all realize that people throw these thought biases or negativity and negative words or energies at us. You know, as long as they're grounded in our own state of being and we know where we're headed and we have confidence in ourselves, you think someone really need to affect us, and it's fluff and stupidity. And that's really how we have to try to view it, and that's how we can move on and rechannel that negative in the thought bias into something more positive and productive.
And I want to share this one thing, and I want to hear from what your take is. And this is the whole purpose of Vibrant Living, whether, you know, because I work now, I work with couples who want to give one-of-a-kind talks together. I work with teams. I'm really into vibrant teams and families and couples and this Vibrant Living Challenge, which I love you guys to be a part of because it's so exuberant, so opening. Here's something that if I had to say what Vibrant Living is about, I was listening to a medical doctor talk, pretty renowned medical doctor, and she was saying this guy came to the, I think it was the Cleveland Clinic, and all the doctors had diagnosed him. He had multiple tumors, and they all said that, you know, he was going to pass away in the next very short time. And 11 months before, he'd used chemotherapy. And so the doctors, they all agreed that that was it. Now, he had a spontaneous remission. And she said she sat in this room with many, many doctors at the clinic. And they all agreed. They signed off on their scientific consensus, which was, it was that the chemotherapy kicked in 11 months later. And what she said, which I love, she said, you know, she said, it's taken me 15 years to realize that was utter nonsense. And in fact, it was a miraculous thing. Listening to the listening and not letting our mechanical, our knowledge get in the way. And so she said she departed from that level of conformist listening. In the same way that people get divorced and all kinds of things happen because we think that's a thing to do rather than let a deeper pulse of listening inform us. Lisa, the thought virus equation is one of the greatest things that I've seen in my life in terms of – I want to give – I call this club. I used to be a member of this health club, and I wasn't happy with the service and what was happening. And he know to call me back, and gave me this line, what a lot of people say to me. He said, well, you're the only one that calls about things like this. Like as if to – by the way, people do that all the time. They deter, like – you know, Bernie Siegel said to me many times, the guy who wrote Love, Medicine, and Miracles, at the hospital, the people that conform and the nice people, they die really quickly. He said it's the troublemakers, disruptors, and the dark horses because they question. And that's uncomfortable. So, Lisa, I wanted you to come in to say something here about this equation about thought viruses and your experience.
You know, I'm actually chuckling, Glenn, because –
yes.
You know, the thought virus, first of all, around aging and going into decline has always been one of my my pet peeves. I never really understood it. I never wanted to embrace it. And, you know, I loved when, you know, I started learning about, you know, Paul Bragg and his idea around, you know, health and happiness and where we could see ourselves in celebrating his, you know, 120th birthday. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we're fed it on through the media so that you can purchase products to help keep you, you know, young and vibrant. But, you're right. When you sort of change the idea around your movie and you see yourself in that place, that's where you vibrate from. You know, I think, you know, your inspiration of getting on your bike and going out, and some people would say, well, you know, oh my gosh, you know, that's a lot of biking, or, you know, how you choose to spend your evenings going to the sauna or playing volleyball. And, you know, you have different individuals on your team who put their beliefs about what's possible, but, you know, you've never really seemed to allow that to get in your way. And you go beyond,
you know,
which I really admire.
Thank you. You know, the other night I went to play volleyball, and there's this one man who plays, this guy Matt. And Matt is such a good man. He's such a good person. And I was there's a couple of people on the team, the other team, or one of the couple of players, and they have impositional notions about how volleyball should be played. And so I was they're as annoying as can be. And I was going to say something to one of them. This guy, he's like a 6'5" a gentleman from India, but he's very he gives impositional feedback. And my whole thing with volleyball and my whole thing with teams is we're one tiger. We need to be really in sync and coordinate that movement and coordinate our breath. And I looked at Matt, and I saw Matt. He basically stopped some fighting that was going on, and I had such reverence that he does that. He took my spirit of wanting to, like, you know, disrupt this guy, and because Matt's just in this really good, you know, he comes there and he really gets it. It's really about the deep play. See, we could live our lives without sports. We don't need sports. Gone tomorrow. What we do need is deep play. By the way, good lovemaking is deep play. See, deep play is really what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about deep play. And it's usually, if you really listen deeply when something's going on, it's usually that people have been serious and tense when there's a so-called accident or there's a mishap, a lot of times people, under the tension, people lose their open focus in seeing. So in this film, one of the things I'm playing with one of the camera people now is kind of like how to shoot these scenes so how we have a doubt of seeing. And by the way, I have a dance coach now. And so this is going to unfold over the next year. I'll be sharing with you guys. I'll be sharing clips because I've only just begun. I've only just begun to see this. And I want to share with you something Desi Arnaz Jr. said to me, Lucille Ball's son. So he was in many movies, and he played his father in a movie called Mambo Kings. And he told me before the movie, actually, he got up as his father, and he opened cab doors as his father. And he said it was the first time in his life he really got his father. Because everybody thought his father was pretty much kind of a bad guy. Even Lucille Ball, towards the end of her life, wasn't a big fan of Desi Arnaz Sr. But it was Desi Arnaz Jr., kind of diving into his world without having a graven image or a scripted. So you guys, if you're moved, I don't want to just talk to you guys once a week, or several times a week, become part of the Vibrant Living Challenge. Now, every 3 months I give away a vacation to one of my favorite places like Stowe, Vermont, where we got our big conference coming to. And the other thing I wanted to say is we learn the habit or the awareness of building our businesses and lives beyond competing. There's no competition. We have an uncontested market share that we could serve distinctly. And when we come together in relational intelligence and the spirit of creative success or creative, you know, developing ourselves together, it changes the whole focus, right? It changes the whole focus. And that's relevant for our nervous systems. And this woman told me once, she said, you know, Glenn, I didn't learn much from this guy named Ken until he lost $50,000. She said he lost $50,000 and it didn't really impact the rest of his day. That's pretty powerful. So I'm going to give you my number. I'm doing this thing this month. I'm willing to do what I call a vibrant message portrait. I'm willing to work with you on your message on the air. I want to bring out a message you've never spoken before. And if you're moved to have, you know, I'll help you reveal it to the audience. Give me a call. We're going to do a special series just through January. So if you're moved to speak a message you hadn't spoken before, in your body, convey it, share it, communicate it. I'd like to, and if you're a couple, I'd love that as well. So if you're ready for some vibrant speaking, you know, and, you know, there's tons of interviews out there. There's tons of that. I don't do interviews. I work with people as a conductor. I assist them in feeling and sensing that message and conveying it through their body, their soul, and their being. And also, if you want to be a host on our network, there's a six-month educational period where I work with you, and you come here, and you really could convey. That's what Lisa did. I met Lisa when she flew to see me here to design her own show in the Santa Cruz market. And I think if I buy her dinner, she'll tell you guys how great it was. Maybe not. She's a very generous person. 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. You know, Lisa, I like that Ariel said that these things come to us. And we all get thought viruses and thinking. And you got to see it that when you're in the basement, right, in the basement, things look a certain way. As we develop, we need to be able to realize that consciousness, our awareness will raise and things will seem different. And that's the difference between a good day sometimes, is not to see things from the perspective that you're shown in a low mood. So the part of this film, the announcement, is really that this couple sees things differently, and they see beyond the family trance, they see beyond the thought viruses. And I'm honored to say at the deepest level that some people, when I've shared this, say this reminds them of Groundhog Day, which is one of my favorite movies. So Groundhog Day, there was a 13-part series by a Buddhist philosopher, at Oxford, who shared how people got the deep message of that movie, which transformed their whole life. So, yeah, there's many things that have touched my being. And there's so many people, some of them I don't know their names, have come in my life during a period I didn't think I would have my life again. And so in my life, as an example, even though I had a relational tsunami, I never call my wife my ex-wife. I don't use the language of death. I don't use the language of ending. I focus on the language of a beginning and seeing things anew. And in my life now, I see my mother now. My mother has not passed away. My mother hasn't been able to speak to me and have a sense of who I am, except I feel at a deeper level she does. But I make it a point. Like in this last month, Lisa and Ariel, I learned two things my mother did that I didn't appreciate. I didn't even realize. As an example, I talked to my girlfriend from fourth grade, Brenda Verity, And Brenda said to me, she says, you always dress so well. And all I can remember up to that point was I didn't like going shopping. It was annoying. I didn't like it. And then I realized, oh, my God, my mother made sure I look well before I left the house. Now, the second one, Joey Callen, my best friend in junior high school. When I was 14, I got into this idea that betting was a good idea. Kind of a dumb idea, but I did it. And I bet Joey my Raleigh bicycle. Thank you. I bet Joey Callen my Raleigh bicycle in a tennis match. And I love tennis to pieces, okay? I lost that dang match, and Joey packed my bicycle. I got to re-examine my friendship with him. He packed my bicycle to take on a trip the next day. And my mother, unbeknownst to me, went over and said, Mr. Joey, unpack the bike, cut it out, give Glenn his bicycle back. Joey told me that 42 years later yesterday, and I was thinking, oh, my God, my mom's there again. And I'm thinking, she's not there for me. When our seeing comes up, we feel gratitude and aware of things we aren't aware of. And we're in a scripted reaction. Yeah, we want to divorce him. Yeah, we can't stand him. But we see our hormones become off. But when we start to see this way, it changes our hormones and it changes our seeing. And our seeing is what reveals what's really there. You know, there was a pretty famous series of books, and that was the whole theme of the books, is that there was a scientist and these mystics. And the mystics had a camera that really showed what happened. And the scientists couldn't see they couldn't see it. But the mystics were able to show them something different. And it was like they could just see what they were confused or felt fearful about. Come to the Vibrant Living Challenge. It's one of the most wonderful things to share and to go back and forth as we discover going beyond hidden thought viruses and the physical practices. Yeah, I think I told you, Lisa, I'm not going to say who this was, but I couldn't believe someone I love very much who's an innovator. You know, I said to him yesterday, he's 73. And I said, when we work together, I want to see you live 160. And he told me he'd be happy to make it to 74. It was a very funny line to me. But I want to say that aging, the notion of aging as a thought virus is the notion of degeneration. It's the aging of limitation, decrepitness, like all those things. Like, you know, your parents is an example. Maybe not your parents, but a lot of parents don't say to their kids, hey, it's going to be terrible one day. You're going to grow up. Your body's going to get stiff. It's going to be awful. And then you're going to be in retirement and that's it for you. No more sex or whatever they don't say it. A lot of times they live it in their body. That's why we do physical practices. We got a great segment coming up. This next segment, only because this moment is great. We're going to talk about vibrant writing and how vibrant writing could transform your relationships, how to write from your body and how to get a sense of other people's body through writing. That's right, with the pen and paper. Stay with us for more Ariel Bonberg and Lisa, and me, or us, when we continue.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to OM Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Yeah, I want to ask you guys a question. If you heard this spot by Paul Abdarino, he should really become a hostage negotiator. I just thought if he could get his voice on a bullhorn, he'd be like, "Hi, it's the New Age composer Paul Abdarino. Please put your hands up and come out. And before you do, give the person next to you a big hug and go to my website on New Age Recording." He's got that voice. I just think he should be helping with hostage negotiation, changing the nervous systems of people. So Vibrant Writing. I had a wild story. I had something pretty wild happen. So I want to say what Vibrant Writing is. Vibrant Writing is the ability to write something that you feel so deeply about, you almost don't have words for it, that your body almost goes into a different posture because you want to express it so much. If you have a hidden message, if you want to write something about your work you haven't been able to put your finger on, that's invisible, that you could use someone to dialogue and assist you with, I'd love to assist you with. Me and my wonderful team, we got Lisa and Ariel here, and a whole bunch of other people. I realized this morning when I was just seeing what I really wanted to share with people to share, I want to share this vibrant writing, how to really write stuff that's really hard. 99% of people have not written, and we're not talking about school writing. We're talking about writing something that reveals a dimension that you want to share with people. Like, that's right, it's issue going beyond competing. It's what you do, what you want to express. And if you're a couple, you know, every couple has an amplified gift together. And when we get out of survival, there's another whole level of expression and abundance. So if you're interested in vibrant writing, I did this with an oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist. And I had a conversation with, just like I'm having with you guys right now. And she said to me, I want to have you help me write my copy for my website. And this is what I do. We sit down and we have a dialogue. Her website, I think it's down now. I called it Beyond Belief Healing. We must go beyond our beliefs to have real healing. And to have real exuberant success, or you want to call it fulfillment. So the fulfillment of vibrant writing is that you write in a nonlinear way. So when you start to write this way, your body will change. It does change. And so one of the things that I want to share with you is that this is a segment Tesha is supposed to be on. Tesha asked me to call this morning, Lisa. You knew that. Dr. Tesha, she asked me to call her. And I lost my phone. I didn't call her. So I want to start off by saying, Tesha, did you show up anyway? I guess that was a no. I'm not saying you didn't ask. All right. So I'm going to give you guys something that this segment is become the divorce of patterns on each other. It's also the segment we talk about vibrant matchmaking. And I want to use this as a moment to say that vibrant matchmaking is a system that I was shown, that I was educated in through a period of time in my life where it's like I guess you could say I went through a significant relationship tsunami. And I knew that the dating got in the way. I knew that trying to get to know someone got in the way. And certainly all this internet nonsense, it's missing so much. So I want to give you guys something to practice right now, whether you identify yourself as single, and then we'll have Lisa and Ariel's brilliant comments. Whether you're single or you're married, I want you guys to start a journal. And I'm going to have these available soon. I don't have them available right now, but we're going to have a vibrant vision journal for couples. And the way this works, even if you're single, even if you identify yourself, part of what the challenge of being single is you identify yourself as single. I want you to start to think about your life as a we. Even if you're not with someone, I want you to begin the day as if, in your imagination to start with, begin to feel and sense what it would be like to live the day from a we. How would you eat breakfast? How would you walk together? How would you breathe together? Right now, without the outside giving you that in the way that you're used to, I want you to start to write in that vibrant couples journal what that day is like. And I said last week, I said when you meet someone, Actually, I'm going to give you an example. One of my clients, she just said to me something. I said, when you go out in the world today, I want you to feel this quality called masculine. What is the masculine? What the heck is that thing? What is the feminine? And I'll tell you one thing. We know that it's not all the counterfeit stuff we hear about during a day. Real truth, real awareness is always discovered in we, not me. It's discovered as a we awareness. So I said to her, I said, when you go out and you see men today and you see the masculine, what is the masculine? What's the highest? I'll ask you, so what's the highest attributes of the masculine? Just asked you. What's the highest attribute? There's not the conditioning that we hear about men, but what is the attributes of the masculine that humble you, that want to make you drop to your knees, that move your bones? Is that something you could relate to about the masculine?
For me, my partner has a saying that when you're with somebody, you're with them till the hubcaps fall off. You know, so and I'll tell you, I mean, it really defines it. You know, it's being beyond just sticking through the thick and thin. It's being there for somebody no matter what the circumstance might appear like. You know, you think about, you know, driving your car till the hubcaps fall off. It's pretty, but you know, for that attribute, I think that, you know, to be able to, you know, women have, the feminines tend to be a more nurturing aspect where I think, you know, that strength and that commitment, I think is what I, really admire about the masculine.
Ariel? So you're a man, obviously. So when you think about, see, I was growing up, I didn't really totally get what the masculine was. I kind of caught it to other men. And let me just, before I want you to respond, Ariel. So the masculine to me is this, kind of what Lisa said, it's kind of this powerful presence. It's patient. It's stabilizing. It's always stabilizing. It's heroic. I was at the library yesterday. By the way, I love telling you guys the story because I ask sometimes the invisible. I kind of say, well, what should I do here with this situation? Because I'm going to start a project, sort of a dialogue project with men and women. That's going to be very unique. We got a name for it. It's a powerful name. But I was a little undecided about it. So yesterday night, I was at the library and I'm sitting next to a woman, and the librarian was helping her so much. And she looks at me and she goes, "This librarian's great." And I said, "Yes, Linda is great." And she goes, we don't need men. I don't need men. And Linda stopped. She looked at her and she said, "I need men in my life. And I appreciate men in my life." And that to me was the signal to do a project. Because you see, men and women that come together and we start to really explore not the collapsed things we read about men and women, or men, particularly now. I read an article this morning. They called it Me Too Roadkill. Me Too Roadkill. The conversation is so dehumanizing. Most men couldn't survive it. I mean, think about this. The conversation about men now is so missing who men really are. Men, who are you really? And women, I know you, because, I want to say, go ahead, Ariel.
Because nobody really, either nobody understands the essence of men and women and what their true potential is. And also, and those that do know, they want to change it and make it gender fluid or uniform for everybody, which also it ruins the entire fabric of that relationship.
Yes.
I think in a nutshell, the way you can describe masculine and feminine is like this, and this is based off, you know, off Kabbalistic teachings also, many other traditions. Masculine, anything masculine usually refers to something being given over or proactively giving over, I would say. And feminine usually refers to more receiving that energy or that power and nurturing it and making it, manifesting it into a reality. You know, masculine can also be, because of that, that also branches down to more intellectual aspects. Like, for example, masculine refers, can also stems into more when it comes to intellectuality. You know, that could be more of wisdom. Which means not just wisdom, like, oh, like he's wise, understand something. It's more of the fact that it's getting that flash of knowledge of that wisdom, of the fact, and seeing it, perceiving it, and knowing everything about it just from that flash. And then from the feminine side, you have more of what's understanding. And understanding means that you see that flash, you see that flash of that fact or that snippet or that headline or that idea, and you're trying to understand it. Now you're trying to break it down to what it means and how it relates and all of its more minute and fine details. And I think this is really the starkest difference between men and women. And of course, you have exceptions of both. You have males who have feminine aspects in them. You definitely have females who have masculine aspects in them as well. But in general, these are the basic differences being, you know, masculine and feminine. And when these are projected and expressed, mm-hmm. and in the proper and healthy and channeled way, they can bring out the potential for both sides and vessels as well, in the best and most healthiest relationship possible. And I think,
I was just going to say that there's a few women, God, tons of women really, but some women who come into my life. I want to acknowledge Dr. Valerie Hunt, one of my greatest teachers and family members ever, Dr. Valerie Hunt, scientist at UCLA, who has studied energy healers from around the world and really revealed the scientific reality of what that was about. Just brilliant. See, I'd be on the phone with her 2-3 hours. My last conversation with Valerie, God rest her soul, was in the night where I began what I call my relational tsunami. I want to thank Catherine, who medical doctor, energy, does a lot of stuff with energy. And she said to me, she says, Glenn, you saw me. No one has seen me. My parents didn't see me. The people in medical school. I want to say that we need each other. What they did with, I guess you could say, in the exchange was they acknowledged in language something and helped me bring it forward to another level. Same thing with Janet. Janet came to see me in the summer. She called me a love visionary. But she said it with a full heart. She didn't say it to be entertained, to be cute. She said, Glenn, what you're about is being a love visionary. And it was like, it had me take notice of something. That's the power and purpose of having a transformational dialogue together, to have sincerity about it and reverence. Because we bring things forth. The miraculous begins by agreement and awareness of an agreement. See, it's the people make vows. They think about vows in your wedding, living those vows until the hubcaps fall off. Each moment, breathing that and feeling the rhythm of that together. That becomes that whole thing that, you know, when you read the biologist, forget his name, the guy who wrote The Biology of Belief. He talks about the idea that you change. What's his name?
Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Okay, Dr. Bruce Lipton. Please send Lisa a big pie or something. That was a bonus point question. She just won the bonus point. That was for the whole show. So get her a Jewish pie, I guess. So what happens is it's not abstract. It's kind of like, that's the thing, is like we live in these small universes together and we impact each other's cells. I mean, the death virus, when I see people eradicated, they're my heroes. I mean, I had a woman I met, she wrote a book called Who Says So, and she healed herself of MS. But it's not the one healing, it's the ongoing thing. That's why this film is, what this film is really about is bringing this tree of life or this awareness into your life and not letting the scripts and the beliefs and the story and the movement of the film and the characters is when I'm humbled and inspired. And then, by the way, in writing the characters up, I get to meet these people and bring have the opportunity to have a partnership acting relationship with them. That's what I'm exuberant about. I'm going to share this in the Vibrant Living Challenge starting the beginning of January. I want you guys to be part of it. If you're ready to go to another level and you've had enough just reading books and having concepts and you meditated on your own forever, ever, and you're ready to have relational meditation and vision, please join us. 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. Ariel, what do you want to say to Lisa since you won that bonus quote round? Anything you want to share with her on your end? That was a pretty significant win for her.
Ariel? I just want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think she definitely deserves the Jewish pizza. With lots of okay. Matzah and gefilte fish
okay.
Sprinkled on
wow.
the top.
That's a good new combo, the gefilte fish. I bet you Lisa, as many things as Lisa done, whether it's traveling the world, sang poetry in the mountains of Tibet, have you had a pizza with gefilte fish on it yet, Lisa?
Can't say that I have.
Exactly. It's been close to your heart.
Imagine you'd be having lutefisk, so it's along the same lines. And
I'd like to go to Finland. I'd like to hang out in Finland for a month in the summer. I like to feel like what Finland's like.
Yeah.
I think Finland. Have you been to Norway?
No, it's on my
Okay.
list of things to do. I still have family there, so
Okay.
absolutely, I would
Well,
love to go.
yeah.
Glenn, it's interesting that you're, the beginning of the conversation today is so tied into what you're saying, though, about, rewriting and writing a script
Yes.
and also, envisioning your life. And it really got me to think, here we are, we're approaching the end of the year, and what is it
Yeah.
that you do want to revision? And so when you have a team of individuals that can encourage you to play and
Yeah.
to try on a hat and see the world in a new way, I think it's very powerful.
So is, you said it so beautifully and so well, and I needed your part of the brain and consciousness to share that. I need your brain and consciousness, Ariel. We are a team, we're a vibrant living team. Join our team at 413-345-3747. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa and Ariel, and all you guys. Stay with us. And by the way, we're expanding our vibrant living network. Thank you, Chris.